Thank you, Rod. Well, we talk about a lot of bizarre things on Radioactive. Today, we're learning about sperm-stealing fish that are capable of cloning themselves, a species that's poised to take over our rivers here in Alberta. It's called a Prussian carp. Mark Posch is an assistant professor in the Department of Renewable Resources at the U of A. His research on the fish was just published in the journal Royal Society Open Science. And Mark Posch is in our studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You've brought some Prussian carp with you?
I have, yes. This, for your listeners on the radio, this one here I'm holding up is Prussian carp, and this one's a goldfish. And they actually, if you look at them, they look very similar to one another. And so this species is invading many of our rivers now. And we think that there have been released of goldfish are found throughout the province and people do release them. And so we think that's how this little guy got in here. And now they're really starting to take over.
Okay. So in the same way we were talking last week about St. Albert and their goldfish issue in the storm ponds, the Prussian carp is probably released by somebody into a river and now they're invading?
That's right. In fact, we think they first came here about 2000. And the reason it took so long to find them was that most people misidentified them as goldfish because they look so similar to them. So we think once they got here in 2000, my research group, research led by Jonathan Rupert and Cassandra Doherty, they started looking at how fast they've actually been moving through. So they first arrived in Medicine Hat. And since then, where we find them now is all the way up to the city of Red Deer. And they are literally everywhere.
Okay, tell us a little bit about how they're cloning themselves, reproducing so quickly, and stealing sperm from other fish.
Yeah, so to your male listeners, this might be a little bit shocking. Males are not actually needed for reproduction for this species.
And
this is, this is a little bit unusual in the fish world. So females lay the eggs, and they actually take sperm from another species. So there's another species actually will fertilize the eggs, but they won't actually contribute any genetic material.
Really?
So the females actually can reproduce what we call clonally. They could clone themselves over and over and over again.
So what is the sperm actually doing then in this scenario?
Yeah, so there's a protein in the sperm that actually initiates the fertilization of the egg. And surprisingly, the species is found in Europe. And so you would think, well, how can they use fish species here? But they're actually a generalist as far as they need this one protein. So they clone themselves, and this allows them to reproduce in huge amounts of numbers. It also means that all the individuals, we've done some preliminary genetic work, they're all identical to one another. They're all literally clones or identical to one another.
How unusual is that?
Well, there are some species of there are shark species and some invertebrate species that do this. We don't see it a lot in the freshwater fish world. And this is problematic because they can clone themselves so quickly and they can reproduce so often, they overwhelm some of the native habitats. So we're starting to see now Prussian carp as the major fish species. When we go out and catch them, we're getting thousands of them in some cases.
And when you say they're overwhelming native species, how are they choking them out?
Well, we don't know the mechanism yet, but there's a couple of ideas. One, because they can overwhelm the system, they can outcompete other species. There's another idea that it's called reproductive interference. So they're taking the sperm from another species, and so that sperm's not going to fertilize their own eggs, so it's going to fertilize a different species' eggs. So they're really taking advantage of this really unique reproductive system.
When you say taking the sperm of another species, it's floating around and they just grab it, or how is this happening?
Yeah, I mean, it happens sort of in the bottom of the river, and yeah, they release the sperm and it adheres to the egg. So there are, you know, natural ways that the fish will kind of, you know, recognize that there's an egg that needs to be fertilized. Mm.
The samples that you brought in are small. They're just, 10 centimeters or less. How big did the Prussian carp eventually get?
So in the initial phase, we start seeing them about this size, but we are getting Prussian carp the size of a dinner plate. So they vary in size. That would be probably the maximum size you would see, the size of a dinner plate. But yeah, there are thousands in there. In one small pool, probably the size of this table, we caught about 1,500 Prussian carp when we were sampling.
Do they make good eating, speaking of dinner plates?
It's hard to say. People do eat them. I wouldn't recommend eating them in the Red Deer system. We have some warnings about metal contamination in the area, but apparently people do eat them.
You haven't done that in the lab.
No, I've had Asian carp before, but it was so spiced up you really couldn't taste it.
Okay, what kind of flesh does it have? Is it a white fleshed fish?
It is a that's a good question. It is a red fleshed fish, but it doesn't. They're hard to fillet, so I don't think that's something that people really want to eat. And we know one of the reasons that they're spraying so fast is people are moving them around. People apparently like to fish for them. We've read some blogs on the fishing boards that they're very popular. But unfortunately, this contributes to the problem. So part of it is educating the public not to move them around because they overwhelm native species, and we're starting to see a decline. So the research that was published today in the Royal Society, we show there's a dramatic decline in minnow species in particular, and the bugs that fish eat.
What else is proactively being done to curb the spread of these carp?
Well, right now, I think the big thing is to A, educate the public, and B, make it known that these are an issue. Now, obviously, the government of Alberta is aware that they're here. But, you know, when you go to the Great Lakes, you hear about Asian carp over and over and over again. And the reason you hear about that is they overwhelm the Mississippi system. And something similar could happen here. So part of my reason being here is to get the message out. They're here. They're having negative impacts. And they could actually overwhelm. They're about 200 kilometers away from the Missouri system. So they're very close to hitting the continental United States. And so the way that we can manage them is to not move them around. But there are active efforts to eradicate them. In Australia, for a different species of carp, they actually used a herpes virus. And because they are these individuals are clonal, they're all identical, they are very susceptible to those types of viruses because there's not going to be a resistance in the population.
Fascinating, Mark. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us about the Prussian carp and some of the ways to curb their spread.
Yeah, my pleasure.
That's Mark Posch. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Renewable Resources at the University of Alberta.